Welcome to the Maxwell Leadership Executive Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a Maxwell Leadership Facilitator and Coach.
And I'm Chris Godey. Welcome and thank you for joining. I have the privilege of serving as an Executive Vice President for Maxwell Leadership. And this is probably one of the things that I love doing most is where we get in a room, Perry and I.
Down here with the little
just,
people.
Just us down here talking about real life, talking about things that you experience on coaching calls or when you're in the room consulting. You were with a client this morning dealing with trust and other things. And so this is just real talk, and I love doing this. And so I want to encourage you as you're joining us maybe by video today on YouTube, or listening to us, to visit maxwellleadership.com/podcast. There you can learn more about the five levels of leadership, really the methodology that we use as the foundation for a lot of our culture training and coaching inside organizations. Maybe you want to download the learner guide. You can go there and be able to do that. Well, today's topic, and I haven't said this in a while, but Perry always likes to kind of throw me a curveball and change the topics up a little bit. This one got me, and matter of fact, our producer, Jake, we were running a little late today, and he said, hey, I'm ready to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Where are you guys at? Yeah. So today's topic is five leader lessons from the craziest Kentucky Derby ever. What you thinking here?
I outdid myself.
Yes, you did. I think I know where you're going. I like this.
Yeah, well, I knew you'd probably think it was the lessons from the horse, but it's not.
Yeah.
I was thinking more about the horse's leader, the owner of the horse, and what his philosophy of high performance outcomes. Now, doesn't that just leave you wanting more?
Yeah, yeah. Now, so let me set the stage, because some of you are like, okay, what is the Kentucky Derby? Or don't know a bunch of details
probably,
about
this
it.
This probably goes down better than the Ryder Cup.
It probably goes down better than the Ryder Cup. Yeah, so if we did one about the Ryder Cup, we should be able to pull one off with the Kentucky Derby. So the Kentucky Derby is the first horse race that starts the quest for a Triple Crown, right. The three races that a horse and the horse's team and the owner, they try to win. And it's a swanky affair.
Very
people
swanky.
Dress up, ladies
hats.
Have hats on,
yeah,
all right, kinds of drinks. And it's hosted at Churchill Downs, a racetrack in Louisville, Kentucky. So this year's, the race was won by a horse named Rich Strike.
That's right.
And what made this race a little crazy was that Rich Strike wasn't even invited into this race until the day before, when one of the other horses had to drop out. Right. And so he got the invite in. What's even crazier about this is that the odds for this horse to win was 80 to 1. What that means is that's a long shot.
Yes,
that's called by long the shot. That is a long shot. And that means if you bet $10 on this horse at 80 to 1, that then you would win $818 on that $10 if this horse was to win. So it was since 1913. When it was the last time where a horse had these type of odds actually won the race. Now, that was a lot of information.
Yeah.
You gave me a lot of notes, a lot of data there. Did I get all that right?
You did. So you might be questioning, so why would I bring this to a leader lessons conversation?
Yeah.
And so I tuned in, as I always do, to the Kentucky Derby, to the very last 2 minutes of the right before the race starts. And people have been there apparently all day. I actually have two guys I coach. They went. I said, tell me, what's it really like? I go, oh, well, you get there at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. The race is going to be after 6 p.m., and they drink bourbon all day. I thought, okay, this can't be good.
No,
but I don't know what they're doing for the whole time.
They stay awake?
The race was really amazing, because this no-name horse, he actually started at 99 to 1, because he wasn't even in the field the day before, but he moved up when the race started. He was in the back, but he moved up very fast, and he was coming up through the crowd, and it was just amazing to watch this horse make its way. But then they went to the obligatory interviews afterwards, where they're interviewing the jockey who's on the horse, and then they interviewed a horse's trainer. And the trainer was so just emotional, he couldn't even talk. But right next to him was standing the horse's owner. And the network announcer just looked at the owner and said, when you were thrown in at the last minute, did you think this was going to be a fun day at the Derby, or did you genuinely believe you could win? And I thought, well, that's a fair question.
Yeah.
You weren't supposed to be here, and we'll just take it for what it's worth. We'll have a great day at the race. And the owner, whose name is Rick Dawson, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He looked straight into the camera, right at that reporter, and said, I would never, ever enter a horse in a race I didn't think the horse could win. And I just, I ran it, I had it on DVR, I ran it back. I go, I wonder if we do that as leaders. Mm-hmm. It's a, what a great mm-hmm. truth that we could all be thinking about measuring ourselves against. Are you putting people, your people, into places where they have no chance of winning? Or are they properly prepared to run for the roses, is what this race is called. Yeah. Are you setting people up? Are you putting them, even at the last minute, into something you know they actually have a chance to win? Yeah. That's what I want to talk about, was what do leaders do? What are the leader lessons? I picked out five things that I took away from what he said. And but I wonder if you, what your take on was that?
Yeah, I love that. I had not seen that interview. And I hear often from leaders and people where they say, hey, I'm not jumping in unless I actually think I can, we can, they can win. And for him in that moment to be able to say that, those are powerful words. And I love where we're going with this. So lesson number one of the five, which, by the way, thank you for using number five, is always be preparing.
Oh, man.
Okay. Always be preparing. Man, they didn't even know they were going to be in the race until Friday, mm-hmm. and the race was Saturday, but they had prepared as if they were going to be in the race, which allowed him, we're going to talk about a little bit later in today's lesson, to hit some of these metrics that they were going after and that they had been working towards. And as Coach John Wooden likes to say, if you wait for your opportunity to present itself, it's too late to prepare. Yep. What this made me think about was, we have a client of ours we worked with for 7 or 8 years, and one of the things that really grabbed me about this this partner of ours, that they said, hey, I want to create a culture where I want my team and my people preparing before the moment so that they're ready in the moment. Mm. And I thought, wow, that's a powerful phrase. Like, what are they doing on a daily basis so that when that turn, that opportunity comes, when that race, when somebody backs out and they call on you in a meeting, or they call on you to show up and present, whatever it might be, that you're prepared in the moment. The other thing is, I've heard this statement that you are compensated now in your, whatever that might be, in your career field, your track, whatever, you're compensated now for the work that you've done in the past that's prepared you for this moment. And and just like this race right here, this the winnings of this came from the preparation that they had done before. So always be preparing.
Yeah, they had done they had managed the calendar so that Rich Strike, I mean, they looked at, the owner said that, yeah, we looked at, you know, Kentucky Derbies on a certain day. If we were to qualify and be in the race, they counted back every 5 weeks they ran a race. And started with, you know, they went back, you know, 30 weeks or so, and they said every 5 weeks we're going to run a race to prepare to do that. And that that if we did that, then we would be, if we do get the opportunity, we'll be ready to do that. I thought, wow, even looking at the calendar to say, what would it take if it were to be possible, what would we have to have done? And so obviously they did the right things. Lesson two is that he said he knew what it took to win. And during the interview was actually interesting, because it's like, if I'm looking at this camera right now, past that was the scoreboard from the Derby. And he said that during the interview, he kind of got choked up when he looked past the camera that was, he was being interviewed with, and saw the scoreboard, and he saw the winning time, 2:02. And he told the announcer, the interviewer, that he'd always told the team, we got to be focused on what it's going to take to win this is 2:03. And they kept our battle cry is 2:03. And when he went to see the jockey right before the race, he says, go get me a 2:03. And I thought, how many times do we put our team into place? Do we really know what it takes to win? And so that I'm preparing to that, the 5 weeks they knew we got to get to a 2:03. And he kind of had a funny guy. He got choked up. I'm looking at the time. I'm thinking, wow, we did it.
Yeah, man, I absolutely love that. That gives me goosebumps when I think about that, and knowing that they were going after that mark and that they had this clear goal in mind, and it set up the team for success, and then for them to be able to hit that on a very important day. I think for us, when our team knows kind of what we're aiming for and what they're working towards, even when they're not in the limelight, right? It's not Saturday, but they're out there running those races, and they know every 5 weeks that what they're aiming for, that they encourage them to keep going after it, not back off, not slow down. And so as leaders, we have to challenge them to do that. We've got to set clear goals. What is that number? 203. Go get me a 203. And I love it because that's what they were focused on. And that was the expectations of the team, to do that 203. So I have to love that.
Hey, podcast listeners. Do you have a clear plan for growth? Achieving big results most often does not require big life changes. Small improvements over time compound into big results. Download Clear by Maxwell Leadership. It's the new free app where our expert guides help you pace your leadership journey and set a clear plan for your growth. You can also find all sorts of resources on the Clear app, including this podcast and information on upcoming events such as our International Maxwell Conference this August. This upcoming conference will be like no other, so be sure to download Clear by Maxwell Leadership in your app store and register today.
And lesson number three kind of stems off of that. It was that they had this incredible belief in, you know, you have to believe in yourself. Yeah. And I thought the owner, the trainer, the jockey all had this massive positiveness about themselves and about the horse, about the conditions. They appeared to be the only ones at the track that were not surprised by their win. They were like, yeah, we won.
Meanwhile, the entire world.
Yeah, the entire world is going, whoa, 80-1. You shouldn't have, you know, no way. But they weren't running around. Can you believe we won? Can you believe? They weren't doing that.
Yeah.
They said they were very calm and collected, actually emotional about how their plan came to work and that they did exactly what they thought they could do. The question I have, and it's a hard one, is how does a leader build self-belief into a team?
Yeah.
Is that something the leader can do?
I think you absolutely can do that. And I think now more than ever, that's a skill set that as a leader, you need to be continuing to work on and to practice. One of the ways that I like to do it is I like to bring up examples that I see in them that they probably don't see in themselves, that where they have added value to a client, maybe a team member, maybe someone else on the leadership team. And I like to use, again, I just don't like to make general comments or general statements. Hey, Perry, man, when you did this the other day, man, that was awesome. I had never seen anybody. So what does that do for Perry? That's like, oh man, like I do belong in this room. I do have a little bit more belief because of that. Now you can do it generically and make those comments, but I would be watching, and I do watch for ways to where I see a team member stepping up, maybe doing some things outside of what their current job role is, and then talking specifically about what it was. It makes me think about a conversation I had a couple weeks ago with one of my team members where I've seen a couple of things where they have added a ton of value to the team, and I just wanted them to know that I saw that so that then they have that belief in themselves to keep doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, again, proper motive. I'm not just doing it so that they'll do more of it. I'm doing it so that they have that belief in themselves. Hopefully not only to continue to do it inside their organization, their world here to increase their influence, but even outside of our work, right? At home with their family or in the community. And so I think that's one way that I do that to help them bring up their self-belief is to, as their leader, communicate kind of what I see in them.
Yeah. I'm thinking while you're talking about being a parent, then you know, you can either notice everything your kid does wrong and remind them that they're in, or I can, you know, definitely there's coaching in there, but I can also let you know, I do this with my son a lot, that you have what it takes. And I just want to know, I'm impressed by what you're doing. I've seen you really now a couple of areas you could work on, but wow, you really have what it takes. And just building that, I can do this. I can compete. It's going to be ups and downs, but I can compete. I just love the way they talked about this, their belief in coming to this race. The next one, number four, was that the leader believes in the team. Mm. So not only do they believe in themselves, but the leader expresses belief in the team. And that, how do I let them know, you know, kind of what you're just saying about that it's not only getting them to believe in themselves, that's big. I mean, you're really not going to go anywhere past what your own self-concept is.
Yeah.
How it's going to be self-limiting beliefs, we call that. If you don't believe you can do it. So I'm always trying to get you to believe you can do it. But as a leader, letting them, I believe in this team, this owner, this trainer, and this horse and this jockey were a cohesive team. How do you let them know that you're really in their corner. I'm for you if we use some of our terminology.
Yeah, Jeff's,
what are your thoughts Jeff on Henson. That one?
So for me, it's very similar to what I do on an individual basis, but I like to do it in a team environment to where the team hears specific examples of what the team is doing and how the team is contributing and where they're at. And I think when you do that in a collective environment, it rubs off on each other a little bit to where even maybe some of that encouragement and that belief comes from other team members outside of those meetings. And so if you do it that way, the other thing I would say is that make sure that when you're in that team environment and you're building that belief in them, you're using specific examples like I just talked about, but also tie them back to, and we've talked about this before, the values inside the organization, right? So, hey, man, I absolutely love what this team is doing. One of our values is exceeding expectations. You guys are exceeding expectations. And man, I just want to let you know, man, I believe in what you guys have accomplished the past quarter. You guys have shown up. You exceeded expectations. I believe we can do it again. And then that starts with whatever, the top of the funnel all the way down to the people that are delivering. And so very similar model to what I do on a one-on-one basis, but I do it in a collective environment so that if there is something that one team member is maybe sensing from another team member to where there's a little bit of a downturn in their business or a little bit of lack of belief, they come alongside and they'd be like, man, Perry, man, come on. We believe in you. Let's go. This team, you know, so just a little bit more of a collective conversation than a one-on-one, but very similar traits.
I'll tell you one thing you do really well. You do praise results, but you also praise effort. You recognize the result for sure, but then you recognize the effort that went into
the result.
And I'm thinking about Dr. Carol Dweck and the mindset that you know, if we just praise results and the results aren't there, I may pull back. I may not even want to share that with you, but if I praise effort, and that leads to number five, which is always, I thought that they exhibited, and this comes from Carol Dweck and the mindset research she did, they were always about improving, not proving. That they didn't come into the race for something to prove. They were in a steady stream of improving to do that. And, you know, fixed mindset, if you don't know about Carol Dweck and mindset, there's fixed mindset people and growth mindset people, but fixed mindset people or teams are focused on proving to themselves and proving to others that they have what it takes, proving to themselves that they're in it. Then if they fail or if they come up short, then they kind of they stop trying. They don't even want to risk putting it out there. But a growth mindset person is all about trying, and even if they fail, to try again, to continue that effort. They're not trying to prove anything to you. They're about improving. And I think the race every 5 weeks that we talked about earlier, the owner was looking for small, steady improvements that were going to lead up to a big day. And that constant improving was what led to that. I thought, am I setting my team up? Or am I asking them to prove stuff? Or am I challenging them to improve when they do that? And it's interesting how they did it for this team.
I think this, I hadn't really thought about it until you brought this lesson to us today.
That's why you had me here.
That's why I got you here, man. That's right. That's why I pay you the big bucks.
That's right.
Yeah. He's like, I'm pretty sure I'm donating my time to this podcast. And I think there's a bigger lesson. You're going to hear this from us, from one of us futuristically. And I'm even thinking about even just some keynotes with clients about using this as an illustration. I love using sports examples as leadership kind of launching pads. And so as I kind of wrap up today, what a great leadership lesson this was. And I love the fact that if we continue to work on what we need to before the moment, we'll be ready in the moment. And then I also think John talks a lot about preparing and repairing.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And it's the same thing here. Like, I think as leaders, if you're preparing the individual team members, if you're preparing the team as a collective, if you're preparing processes and systems, you won't have to be repairing them or repairing whatever missed opportunities. We have to make some you know, deviations from the plan and some staff and some team. Yeah, all that's going to happen. That's part of it every day. But I think if you have that focus on before the moment versus in the moment, you're going to do a lot more, preparing than repairing.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you, Chris. And just a reminder, if you'd like the learner guide for this lesson and see those five leader lessons, you can see that. You can also learn about the five levels of leadership or 360 leader, other offerings that we have. You can do all that at maxwellleadership.com/podcast. You can also leave a comment or a question from us there. We love hearing from you, and we're very grateful you would spend your time with us each week doing this. That's all today from the Maxwell Leadership Executive Podcast.